Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Hello.
Well, hey, Slim Jim. Do you want to tell us what's going on in your world?
Georgia? Okay. Well, first off, I've been on a little bit of a health kick, I'd say. I've spoken about it like it's probably since last year. I kind of have been neglecting my food and fitness. I still go to the gym, but I haven't probably been doing the kind of things I would normally do in favor of working. Then at Christmas, I just ate and drank so much and I literally felt so rubbish. Mm. And we were talking about holidays and all of this kind of stuff. And I said to James, I was like, you know what? If you turned around to me and said, we're going to the Maldives tomorrow, you whisked me off, I'd say no thanks, because I'd be too self-conscious. And I've never been like that before. Mm. Like I've really never cared that much. And he was like, well, you know, you should probably do something about it if you feel like that. We can't have you avoiding going on holiday because you don't want to wear a swimsuit.
Yeah,
that is not okay. So anyway, weirdly, a guy called Sam West reached out to us on Instagram around the same time I was feeling like that. And he is like an online fitness coach. So I don't see him face to face, but he plans out all my training sessions for me, like sort of to keep me on track. Wow. So I know that I've got to do 4 sessions a week and I know, you know, and he'll tell me off if I haven't ticked them off the list. And then he also sends me like some recipe ideas. It's not really like a diet, like I'm not cutting any food groups out or anything like that. It's literally just, this is about the sort of calories that you should be eating in a day. Mm-hmm. And these are some good ideas for meals. And then I just kind of try and stick to that. Although he actually says to spread your calories out across a week so that, you know, if you go out on a Saturday or a Sunday, maybe you'd have saved your calories up a little bit more to have those blowout days if you really want to. And it's really working.
Does he plan workouts for you as well, or is this just food?
No, he plans all the workouts.
Okay.
So 4 workouts a week, and then food, he just kind of gives me like a few tips, not really like, you know, not strict, just flexible, like nice meal ideas.
What sort of training, George?
Mostly weight training. So I'm doing weight training and then I still do my run. I go for a run on a Saturday with a friend when Gigi's doing her ballet. I'm really enjoying it. And the first couple of weeks, I hadn't really lose any weight. I think I was losing like a kilo here and there, which is still great, like obviously. And then this week, I've stepped on the scales and from the beginning of the 3-week thing, I've lost 7 kilos. And I can't believe it. I'm like, because I haven't felt hungry. I haven't felt like I've been completely, you know, like exhausting myself. I've just felt really good. And like, I've got lots more energy and yeah.
I'm really proud of you. Well done. And do you know what? I think it's one of those things that people are almost a bit concerned to discuss, you know, weight loss and toning up. And there's almost a bit of an anti- in some areas I find like to open up that conversation, but you're doing it in such a healthy way. You know, you've got a plan in place. You've got somebody helping you out who's qualified to do so.
Yeah, exactly.
You're enjoying it. It's not like you're restricting your food. It's not like you're overtraining. And actually this is more about how you feel rather than how you look.
Well, it is.
The word self-conscious. That's not good.
I don't want to be self-conscious on holiday with my kids, not enjoying myself because I feel, you know, and I know I listen to, you know, podcasts and all of that kind of stuff about body positivity, and you know there's this whole movement around you don't need to fix your body, you need to fix your head. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not there. I'm not there to feel like, if I feel uncomfortable in my body, I will change, you know, I'll do something to change it. So I don't want anyone to listen to this and feel like they have to
No, this is just your journey, and yeah, it's amazing.
Just because I want to feel a bit better about myself.
So, well, we can't wait to see the before and after photos, and we can't wait. No, well done, George. Really proud of you. Well done. Well, you sound like you've been doing a lot more exercise than I have recently.
Yeah, tell us, how's your weekend been?
Did you?
Well,
I went for the
first time in 6 months.
You did
7K,
did you do? Or something like that?
Yeah, I did 7K. First
casual
time I've run.
7K when you haven't run for 6 months? What?
Oh, I don't know.
How?
I know. I don't know. I'll tell you how. I got lost, and it was my first run in my new area, and I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'm not one of those people that I'm on that Strava app, but I don't really.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't map out a run. I'd just go for a run and just like kind of feel it. And then before I knew it, I was heading off in the wrong direction, and I was this will take me around in a loop in a minute, and it just didn't. And as I was running further and further away from my home, I was thinking, fuck, I've got to get back here. And that's why it was 7K. But it was lovely to be out and about, and actually, I've decided now I'm going to commit to one run a week, like you said,
yeah,
and then I can do it with all my other training. Yeah,
really nice. Yeah, because also, like, I worry about my knees and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So but, you know, so that's the difference between you and me. Like, you decided to run home, I'd have probably called an Uber. If I was lost, I'd be like, oh dear, I should probably get a taxi home.
Don't tell your fitness coach that you're saying all this online now, George. Now listen, we're moving away from last week's podcast, and we're moving on to this week's podcast. And this week's chat was it was really lovely, and it went off in a direction that I didn't think it would take. Some really honest conversation and honest thoughts from today's guest, who, you know, as I sort of say in my intro, I've actually known her personally for about 10 years. We sort of grew up in the same kind of presenter pool at ITV2, and she has gone on to do really incredible things with her business. She's moved into interiors, you know, she's got her own podcast. She's also a mum to two now. She had them quite close together. And she was just really honest about pregnancy, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to admit if you don't enjoy pregnancy, or sometimes you don't enjoy motherhood. We're really grateful to our guest for coming on and being so honest, because if you're feeling it, there's always going to be someone else feeling it too.
Yeah.
And that's why we think it's so important to have these conversations, to normalise all the feelings.
Absolutely. So we're going to get into today's chat. Georgia, who are we chatting to?
Today, we are chatting to Laura Jackson.
Oh, it's an exciting one today. An old mate of mine who has gone on to absolutely smash life, right? Mum of two. She's got a new baby and a toddler, I feel. She's also just launched her brand new business online called Glassette. Hopefully I've said that right. She's got her interior design podcast, So How Do You? And also, of course, her Channel 4 show as well. It's Laura Jackson. Let's welcome her to the podcast.
Yay! How are you?
We can always answer this more honestly, like in 2022. I'm exhausted, but I'm fine. I'm great, and I'm happy and healthy, but I'm tired.
What does life look like for you, Laura? Because I know that you are obviously juggling a million plates. So just talk us through what like a normal day looks like for you.
Well, I'm up every morning at 7 with the kids. Gosh, every day really, really, really varies, which I love, and I've always wanted that that kind of like varied lifestyle where I wasn't going to an office from 9 to 5. I just never really liked that. So yeah. It's really, really varied. Get up with the kids, have breakfast with the kids. Depending on what day it is, some days I like go to the gym, and then I usually start work at like 9. Although because we've got a smartphone, we always start work at 7, don't we?
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then work, whatever that is, like Glassette or meetings or recording or podcasts or whatever it is. But it's usually really exciting, and I just love all aspects of work. And then dinner with the kids, and bed at
Into bed at 7:10.
Laura, just before we hit record, you was telling us that you've got 45 minutes left of work today before you have to go and be with the kids. And you actually said that you won't be doing any work because you have a burner phone. And I've never heard of anyone doing this, but I think it is a genius idea. So just tell us where that came from.
Do you know what? It came from ages ago, ages and ages and ages ago. I did a job with somebody, and they told me that they were like obsessed with their phone. And they had a second phone so that they weren't updating their social media all the time. Right. And I was, and I'm kind of, I do feel like I'm in a, I'm not obsessed with social media, but I'm obsessed with work because I love my job. So I don't really have any boundaries. Like, my work is my life and my life is my work, but I really love it. But it's not, yeah. I can't live my life like that. It's mad. And I remembered it and I thought, oh, I'm going to get a burner phone. That's a really good idea. And I had one for ages. And I was like, right, I'm going to start using it. And I bought like some like old Nokia phone from like eBay for like a fiver. And then my SIM didn't work with the phone.
Right.
Really, so then the other, like a couple of weeks ago, I was like, right, I actually need to just figure this out. And I listened to a really amazing podcast by Stephen Bartlett, you know, Diary of a CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had this incredible episode on distraction. I was like, right, I'm sorting out this burner phone. So I had to buy another phone that was basically 3G because I had a 2G phone. But I got like a Nokia 3310.
Has it got Snake on it?
Oh, it's got Snake. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. Well, that's a distraction.
That is a distraction, yes. But it's just essentially like it's just not a smartphone. So it's fine. It's just really easy for somebody to say to you, and it's bad habit or, you know, whatever, but bad habit is someone goes, oh, have you seen this? And you go, yeah. And then you Google it. Then you follow them on Instagram. Then you get distracted. And mm-hmm. then you just down a rabbit yeah. hole of like, I don't know, whatever rabbit hole you're down. And I just, it's not, it's at the moment, just with everything, you know, life's, you know, there's lots of stuff going on. It's just not a good use of my time. It doesn't help my productivity.
Is it also to do with the kids though? Because when you take over at 12:30, it's like you put your smartphone down and then you've just, is that when you get your burner phone out, or do you just leave all your phones alone? No emails, nothing at that point?
Yeah, the kids. I'm trying not to be on my phone in front of them. It's really difficult. Phones are a part of our lives. However, you know, even before we had mobile phones, we had phones to communicate, yeah. the house phone. So it's just, I just don't want it to like occupy our time that we should be spending, that we're spending together. Yeah, it's nice. And when I'm with the kids, I really am with the kids. Like I mean, last weekend I didn't even have my phone on me at all. And I just spent the whole weekend with the kids.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I think we live in a part of London where we're like, I bump into people in the park and I can like walk past people's houses and knock on. And that's really nice. I kind of, motherhood isn't about spontaneity, like that's long gone. So having that sort of spontaneity, like knocking on people's door for a cup of tea, yeah. I really quite like that.
Yeah.
I'm going out with some friends for tea tonight. And I was like, shall I take my burner phone? And I'm like, oh God, what if I need to order an Uber? But then I was like, I have gotten a taxi before Uber existed.
Yeah.
You can put your hand out in London. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? I really love it because I find that I get overwhelmed with like all of the things that need to be done. And there's loads going on in my head. I'm trying to be a good parent and play with the kids, but equally then I look that there's other stuff and I might go and try and answer an email. And I say this to my husband and he's like, just focus on one thing at a time. And I think having like the burner phone and not having the distraction would help, like does help you do that. And I don't know if it's a mum thing yeah, or a female thing or what it is, but we just all seem to have like so many tabs open in our heads and we almost need to just break them down.
Social media is a killer as well, actually, yeah. I think.
It is. I'm quite good on it though, you know, like I love it. But if someone said to me, oh, you're not going to have it, my life wouldn't be over. I mean,
yeah.
For work reasons, it would not be great at all. Once you get your head around what social media is and how it works, then you're not as bothered about it.
Yeah.
Mm. It's not here to serve us. We're not the customer. The advertisers are the customer. So you just liking things and putting yourself out there is making them money, not you money. So if you look at it from a different kind of through a different lens, it has, and I do love it for work, and it's great for, and I'm so lucky. I have amazing community of people who I really love and respect. I mean, I was like put out there on like my stories, thinking of going skiing. Where should I go? Should I take the kids? And so many people were like, "You're absolutely insane taking a 1 and 2 year old skiing for these reasons." And I was like, oh yeah, you guys are right, I'm not taking the kids.
I'm going on my own. Yeah, I'm off on my own. Let's talk about the kids and let's talk about the age gap. I'll take you back to your first pregnancy. What were you like as a pregnant woman and did you enjoy it?
Oh, I hate being pregnant. I think it's just so boring. I just really didn't enjoy it. I'm yeah, not at all. It's really strange. With Sid, I really was like pushed against the, I'm pregnant and, you know, all of those, like, I don't know, some people like really love it and that's great for them. But I just kind of carried on with my life as normal with Sid and just was pregnant as me. And kind of like really fought against the whole like I'm becoming a mum or, you know, those kind of like things. I think I was just like in my head I was ready to have a baby, but I don't think I was ready in terms of like I didn't really know how much my life was going to change, and I didn't really want it to change in that way. I didn't enjoy I wasn't really sick or anything, but I just didn't enjoy being like I just didn't enjoy being pregnant, really. It's like quite, you know, it's exhausting, isn't it, really? Such a toll on your body. And with Remy, I didn't enjoy being pregnant with him in terms of like, I wasn't like, oh my God, I feel, you know, some people just really enjoy being pregnant, basically. Yeah. And I didn't with either, but I took such a different, Remy was everything about, everything with Remy was just so different to my experience with Sid, just everything. How I approached pregnancy, how I like thought about it.
Was that to do with one and two, or do you think that's to do with boy and girl in terms of your actual symptoms, or do you think it was because you knew what you were doing because it was the second time round?
No, not at all. Just the way that I approached my pregnancy with Sid, I was very much like, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm getting on with my life, going to work, everything's really busy, just crack on. Worked until like, I don't know, like a week before she was born, just like carried on as like business as usual, basically. But I was pregnant. And with Remy, it was COVID. And I had this like, the hospital were really hands off. And it was the same hospital where I had Sydney, and they were brilliant when I had Sydney. But I very much felt the effects of COVID and, you know, being a second time, low risk pregnancy meant that I just didn't have any hands on care. And I felt really anxious going into it. Like I just felt a bit nervous. And I think I knew what was coming. It's, you know, ignorance is bliss, isn't it? And I think I was I felt really nervous and I felt really anxious. And I kept trying to tell myself, like, it's fine, you're fine. Like, you know, just not worrying about it, whatever. But I did, I just felt really, I felt really anxious and really nervous. And it got to the point where I was in Cornwall. I'm also not a nice person when I'm pregnant. I'm just really short. I've got such a short fuse and I get irritable and I'm just like not a great person to be around. And we went on holiday in the August before Emmy was born. And I like said to all my friends, I was like, I'm so sorry. I just feel like I'm so miserable. I don't know why you all want to be here with me.
Oh, like, Laura.
It's so ridiculous. And John's like, you are being a bit of a bitch.
I have to deal with her every day and she is being an absolute arsehole daily. Yeah.
And then I was like, right, I've got to do something about feeling like this. And feeling anxious and nervous and like, what am I going to do? I have to take, like with everything else, I'm like, have to take control of it. Like, what can I do to make this better for myself? So I asked a couple of friends, and with Sid, by the way, I did like a couple of these, wasn't NCT, it was like this, like, it was like going to this woman's house who was like a midwife and like, you know, these like...
Yeah, like an antenatal kind of class.
Yeah. But like wasn't very invested, like found it a bit ridiculous. And was that when I was in there, I was like, God, this would just make a brilliant TV show.
Yes.
Like just not invested in my pregnancy, like whatsoever. Didn't read any books, didn't do hypnobirthing, didn't invest in it at all. And with Remy, I was like, right, I need to take this seriously. Like, this is a huge thing that's happening to me. I need to look at this differently. I need to, like, I'm having a baby and there's all these things that I can do to help myself. So I really, like, I researched it. I, like, took it on as a bit of a project. And I was like, right, I'm going to speak to all these people who I know did all the things or whatever the things are that you do, like that kind of like worked with their pregnancy instead of me that just like sailed along with it previously. And they said, oh, I worked with this amazing woman called Gowri Motha, and she has this method called the gentle birth method. She actually doesn't live that far away from you. She's like an obstetrician at Whittington Hospital. She's this amazing woman, but she loves home birth and works kind of quite holistically.
Yep.
And I just thought, oh, I'm going to go and see her. So I went to see her and she was amazing. And I kind of, she does all of this kind of alternative therapy and I can't remember what any of it is, but some of it is like reflexology. And
yeah, we love, we talk about reflexology a lot on this podcast.
That is part of it. She has all of these techniques and it's like really amazing. And she talks about eating a non-inflammatory diet.
During your pregnancy though, Laura, during the pregnancy or after?
During the pregnancy, yes. So I went to go and see her. So I think I was like end of August after my like realization of it all. So August, September, October, November. So yeah, I saw her for three months basically. So for 3 months, I ate like a non-inflammatory diet. I hate that word.
What does that consist of? Just for people who don't, you know, who haven't heard of that term before.
Well, it's basically just not eating anything that's like going to cause your insides any inflammation. So that, you know, the thought behind it is that when you're delivering your baby, like this is just the cleanest, like non-inflammatory place possible. So your baby can travel like succinctly down.
Right. Yeah. So Haribo's and salt and vinegar crisps are off the list. It's just sadly.
Fizzy fangs for me.
Fizzy fangs. Yeah.
Fizzy fangs. Fizzy fangs.
It's such a personal journey, isn't it? Like with Sid, like I didn't do any of this and I thought this was just a load of old crock. Like I wouldn't have done it basically.
Sure.
I was just very, very different with Remy. I would never have had a home birth either. If someone had said to me, oh, you're going to have a home birth, I'd be like, that's ridiculous. Like I would never have even thought that. But I don't know what it was, feeling anxious, nervous, COVID, second pregnancy, I don't know, whatever it is. And I had all my stuff after with Sid was really easy. Like I was really lucky, never suffered from postnatal. And so it's basically no nightshade. So peppers and courgettes and tomatoes. Eating lots of food, but just not eating
the crap.
Yeah, basically. And then I there was quite a lot of like homeopathic ointments, tablets, whatever that I did. And as I was going to see her, I was like, oh God, maybe would I have a home birth? And I was like, I can't believe
Yeah.
And I remember going home and speaking to John. I was like, what do you think? And he was like, no.
Definitely not.
He's like, what are you on about? He's like, what's happened to you? Who are you? You would never have a home birth. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I don't know. And I think because the hospital was so hands-off, like, I mean, I literally had had like one call, I'm not joking, in like 6 months. It was wild.
Wow.
And then I went to go and have an appointment and the midwife wasn't her fault, but I mean, she'd just had enough. Like she'd just had enough, like not paid enough, long hours, you know, it's just exhausting, the NHS. We just don't look after people. It's just so sad. But I just didn't fill me with confidence. And I went to a friend who told me about Gowrie and who had a home birth. And she had worked with these amazing midwives called the Forest Midwives. And now they used to be on the NHS. They used to be funded by the
right.
Hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because funding's been cut with the NHS, they were no longer supported by them. And they decided, because they loved it so much, that they wanted to work independently as these home birth midwives. And it's very much about continuity of care, which, I mean, through, you know, researching about this when I was pregnant is, a contributing factor to having a positive experience, right? And knowing the people in the room with you, having the same midwife throughout your appointments, like, it's kind of not rocket science, but because of how things are and the NHS being stretched, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I called them up and I spoke to this lady called Bex, and she was just so nice. She was just so lovely. And I just felt, I always lead by intuition, and I just felt like she was just this really amazing person. So Bex and Debs used to come to my house like every week and have appointments, and we'd have cups of tea and cake, and Sid would like, you know, try and jump on my belly and was very much a part of the experience. And it was just so nice. It was just lovely, and it really made me feel at ease. And they just they make you feel really powerful with a like, you know, you're just another person giving birth. We're here to support you. You can absolutely do this.
Yeah.
I bought John a book on home birthing, and I think he used it as a doorstop, which was obviously reassuring. I did all that work in terms of like really looking after myself and my diet, going for like regular exercise in terms of like walking and doing yoga, doing like whatever that like weird vaginal stretches.
Oh yeah. What's that called, George?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
we
didn't
do know
it.
Because I had to do the peri something massage. I tried to get Dozer to do it and he was like, I'm not into this. I don't want to do it. I mean, it's you have to get really into it if you do it. Otherwise,
that
it's
bloom
just
a thing, can't you?
Yes.
What's it called, like epi something? Epi, I can't remember.
No, I didn't do the bloom. Did like the stretching thing. And then like Gowrie, like you also get this like hot oil to use like a couple of weeks beforehand that basically like, I mean, goes in your bum. And it's like this warm oil that's like basically like loosens everything up. And
wow.
I mean, I don't know whether, you know, all of this was like a load of old whatever and it was all in my head and it was just the way that I was thinking, but like I had a 40-minute labor like end to end.
No.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
I guess as well, from being so anxious to having a 40-minute labour and feeling really calm, it actually doesn't matter what the process was. Whatever it was, it worked, didn't it?
I mean,
it worked.
Calm in those 40 minutes, obviously. But, yeah. I wasn't like sitting down and putting the telly on. It was like intense as hell, but it was a really great, it was a really positive experience.
Can you just unpick what that home birth setup looks like? Because somebody that, I mean, we've never experienced it. I've never seen it. We've only ever chatted. Well, Nadia Zawala told us about hers, but you know, where do you do it? Do you give birth on the bed? Do you labor in a pool? What did it look like?
I mean, like I didn't have time to do any of this stuff. So like I wasn't eating gluten or wheat or dairy in this like non-inflammatory 3 months of my life, which was very, very painful. I'm not going to lie. Like, like that is dedication to the cause. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I eat anything and everything. Anyway, we'd gone to lunch and it was my due date. I'm also kept saying to Debs and Bex, like, I'm not having my baby past the 5th of December. Like, that's just not going to happen. And they were like, okay. I said, no, I'm just not. I don't want my son's birthday to bleed into Christmas. And they were like, what are you on about? You are medical. And I was like, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And I was like, that is like, I'm such a like firm believer of the mind. I was like, nope, it's not going to happen past the 5th of December. And went out for lunch on the 5th of December. And I was a bit like, oh God, I don't even think I believe my own hype now. It's the 5th of December. I'm still not here, which was my due date. And went for lunch. And I just thought, oh, sod it. Had like 4 courses of pasta, 2 glasses of champagne.
Yes.
I literally was just like, really enjoyed myself. I got home and I thought, well, seeing as I've indulged all afternoon, I'm going to indulge all evening. And we ordered like a massive curry from the curry house, even though I'd literally had the most hard food ever. And then my sister and my brother-in-law were at the house. My friend had just been over, popped over by the door because it was like COVID times and it was all a bit like busy at home. And I was like, oh, I don't feel very well. And John's like, I'm not surprised. You've eaten more food in one day than most humans eat all week. And you've not been eating any of these things. And you've had 2 glasses of champagne. So like, no wonder you don't feel very well. And I was like, yeah. So I kind of just put it down to that. And this was like Strictly was on. Always vote on Strictly, love it. And now I was like, no, I don't feel good. But you just don't think that it's happening, right?
Yeah.
Even though you've done it before, it's like kind of crazy. And then, I don't know, I spoke to the midwife and she's like, you sound fine. And I was like, I kind of feel fine, but I just feel a bit funny. Like, and then I was talking to her, I was like, I can't string a sentence together. She's like, okay, well, let's just keep an eye on you. I'd go and run a bath or something, go and sit in the bath. So I went upstairs and got in the bath and my sister came with me. Oh my gosh, she's such a Wally. She was like, do you want me to read a chapter of this book to you? And I was like, no, I don't want you to read a book to me. I was really grouchy. Poor my sister, who's the best ever.
Oh.
And then I really felt my I was like, oh my God, I think I'm in, I don't know, something's happening. I said to John, could you call them again? I think it's happening. And then they were like, oh, maybe we'll start filling up the pool. But like, you know, they were just like obviously downstairs chatting, not filling up the pool.
Right.
And then I got out of the bath and it was just like, oh my God.
Intense, straight away, bang.
Just like, oh my God, this is just happening. And then I went into my bedroom and then I started crying because I felt really upset. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this again. It just feels so intense. And he was like, don't worry, I'm going to call the midwives, whatever. And then I was like on my own in the bedroom. And I just so vividly remember thinking, this is happening again. And I've got two choices. I've like, can either just go with it and like get on the treadmill and just run, or because I'm on the treadmill and this is happening. So whether I like it or not, and if I keep fighting against it, I'm going to keep falling off the treadmill and getting, and then I'm going to get back on.
Yeah.
I always think about things as like in like pictures or like videos or whatever. So I'm like, that was like my like analogy of like me just running on a treadmill. I never run on a treadmill. And I was like, I've just got to do it. I just have to do this. I have to go with it. And I literally had every drug with Sid. I was like a 20-year-old at a rave. I was like, yeah, I'll try that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that.
A bit of that. Can I have some of that and that one as well? Oh, yeah.
Literally, like, nothing. John was like, I think we need to get you downstairs. And I think moving me downstairs, like, broke my water. And then I was like, and then I just started to panic because nobody knew what to do. My sister was walking around with the blender jug full of water, trying to fill up the pool.
Well, that's a great image. There yet or not?
Yeah, where were they?
No.
And then, like, John's just like, I don't know what John's doing. My brother-in-law is like, literally, like, just can't. He's like, wants to look and support, but like, can't be anywhere near me because I've like got no pants on and just a t-shirt. And so he's just like walking around, like not really doing anything. No time to get in the pool, obviously, because it's not even full of water. So I'm just, it's nothing. Nothing was prepared. We just, then Debbie came, that she luckily lives around the corner, and she came and she was like a teacher at school where everyone had been really naughty and was like messing around. She was like, what is everybody doing? Right, you do this, you do this, and you do this.
Really?
I was like, how long? I basically screamed at her, like, how long? And she was like, I can see the head. You've like got like a push in you, basically. And then I was on the, I think I had my head down in the sofa. I mean, I know some people, like, again, everything is so personal with like labor and everything to do with pregnancy and babies. But I like find it really cathartic to like scream. And so like to just basically externalize everything. So I just had my like face down in the pillow, like on the sofa, just screaming. And then that was it. Two pushes and he was out.
Oh my gosh.
That
is one of the most incredible birth stories I think we've ever heard, Laura. That's amazing. And the fact that you did it at home, and I remember seeing your photo being like, were you drinking some, was it tea or champagne or something in bed, like afterwards, just being like, oh, here I am with
that
my baby.
Do
you remember
so
it?
Nice. That's so nice. Is that what you did? Got into bed, into your own bed?
Yeah, I think he was born at like 10:30. I think my contractions started, I think I'd like physically started at like 10:50. So it was so quick. But then afterwards it was just absolutely horrible. Like I felt like I'd been in a road traffic accident because it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
I was in so much shock. I was like lost all the blood from my body. Like I was so pale, I was so white, I was shaking. And then she walked to hand me the baby and I was like, no, I don't want to touch him. Sorry. And I was like, I'm not being weird. I just can't compose myself. I just felt so weird.
Yeah.
And I like had a cuddle with him, obviously. And then they're like, you need to pass the placenta. I was like, oh God, that fucking thing.
Yeah.
So then I just had to sit in the downstairs toilet, and that was really painful passing that.
Oh.
You have no, like, obviously all your adrenaline's going, and because you've not had anything, you just, like, I don't know, it just, it's really sore, and then you've got to pass this thing.
Yeah. It's like you've reached the top of the mountain, and then someone goes, oh no, hang on, you've got another one to climb now. And you think, yeah. you feel that, like, oh,
yeah,
I've done
totally.
It.
Totally. Yeah, I think in hospital, what did they give up? I think they give me a shot in the leg for me to pass the placenta. Is that what they normally do?
Yeah, yeah, they do. It just means it comes quicker. So I kind of just had to, I had to wait. But it was crazy. I feel like I just experienced two completely different births. And then when they said with Sid, right, we need you to push now. And I don't know if you've ever seen that episode of Ab Fab where Bubbles has got the vacuum, but the vacuum isn't plugged in and she's just making the noise of the vacuum. Going, zoom, zoom. And then, but like, Amina's like, darling, you've got to plug it in, not make the noise. And I felt just like that in the hospital pushing for Sid. I was like, oh. And then I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not pushing. I'm just making this noise, and I don't know what's going on. And I couldn't feel a thing.
Did you have an epidural?
I had an epidural. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Same.
Great.
Oh, same.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All for the epidural. Loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I insisted trying the like plethora of like drugs that was on offer before I went to the epidural. I should have just gone straight there.
Straight to anyway. The epidural. Yeah.
But yeah, with Remy, it was like mental. Like my body just expelled the baby. It was amazing and so mind-blowing. Like, my body can physically remember what it feels like everything. It's crazy. Like, there was just no stopping this thing. It was just like, I was just the vessel and my body was just expelling this baby. And, like, the feeling of that and it being pushed, like, literally, like, going up and down and just passing through my body was absolutely wild. And I just always think to myself, like, women are absolutely amazing. And when anybody says to me, like, not this isn't possible, I'm like, well, one, we're putting men on the moon, and two, I gave birth to in my living room, so like, let's just go on with it.
Anything's possible. That is, it's an absolute superpower. We want to ask you about Glossette. Just tell us a little bit about that before we say bye. And tell us about your podcast as well, because I know that you've got a billion things going on.
Wow, I've got so many babies, haven't I? Glossette is a homeware marketplace that basically like aggregates all of the places that you could buy homeware on one platform. We've got 160 brands. We are like a editorially content driven business. It's really exciting. It wasn't just the fact that I wanted to aggregate homeware and put it on, you know, in a marketplace. It was that I really want to change an industry that has been typically about one type of person, and it's quite stuffy and old fashioned. And during COVID, the expression of our personality wasn't through clothes, it was through our homes. You know, it's a place where we want to feel real joy and feel comfortable and happy. And I really want to democratize an industry, and I love working with other people and collaborating. And I've just worked with these incredible brands and giving them a platform and a place to sell and have a voice is also really exciting. So there's just so many great things about Glossette. And yeah, the podcast, So How Do You, is just the question that I get in my inbox all the time. So how do you do this? So where do you find that? So blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I thought it's such a good name for a podcast, and it just kind of on a granular level talks about interiors. So it's quite niche in, you know, so how do you find a builder? So how do you choose a color scheme? And then we talk to like paint experts.
I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of looking at things, more granularly, which is kind of what I wanted to do, rather it be scattergun.
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm going to need that podcast because we're about to start doing our house, and I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm doing. I'm literally like, so how do you put cushions together? Like, interiors is not my thing. I've never owned my own house. This is like our first big project that we're doing, and I'm really, really excited to get cracking. In fact, I started painting. I probably need to message you directly. I started painting the other day, and I was like, I'm just going to tackle this room.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen an update on that.
No, that's because it's taken me 3 weeks to paint two walls. The other two I've left, and now I'm like, I haven't got any time to do it. And then I'm looking at it going, I'm not sure if I can. I've got the fear, you know, when you start something then you realize it's a really big project. So I've just got to knuckle down. But I loved doing it. Like, it's it's a great thing that, you know, I'll be giving back to my house.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I love it. Yeah, the builders one's a really good episode actually, because it just, it talks about we speak to a great builder, and he talks about it from his point of view, how to get the best out of your, like, your builder, and what to look for, red flags.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm definitely gonna have a listen to that.
Yeah, amazing. And we want to ask you, we ask all of our guests before we say goodbye, the best piece of advice that they have ever been given, as a mum, or the piece of advice that you would give to a new parent.
I think just always go with your gut, go with your instinct. Everyone has an opinion, don't they, but just remembering that it's a really, really personal journey, and you just do whatever works for you, whatever is best for you.
Right. And okay, some of your favorite products, whether that's for you or for your kids, or just absolute products that you swear by.
Tequila.
Me too. Great.
Lego. I love Lego. Is that one?
Yeah, that's one. Lego.
I'm not a very good mum like this, you know. I'm a bit rubbish. And the other day I thought, oh my God, Sid doesn't even have any shampoo. I wash her hair with my shampoo. Should I be washing my Sid's hair with kids' shampoo?
Yeah, if it doesn't bring her out in a reaction, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
I'm absolutely rubbish. The other day someone said to me in the park, have you lost your son's shoes? And I was like, no, he doesn't have any. He's walking around in his socks. I'm so shit.
No, you're not. This is the type of mum that we love. We love. Yeah. We're terrible.
But what my childminder once said to me, she was like, Laura, you need to start packing snacks. And I just felt so mortified. I was like, oh God, I don't want to be that unorganized mum that doesn't have snacks. I was like, right. Went to the car, but I like bought all the snacks. I was like, I'm going to have a snack bag. I'm going to be that person. And now I am. And I'm like, have like little cucumbers in, like, you know, a bag, and he's not got any shoes on, but he's got cucumbers in all that.
That's it. You can't do everything. Shoes or cucumbers.
You can't. And we say this all the time. I took Luna to school this morning and it was Mufti Day, and I took her in her uniform. And when I tipped up, they were all there in their own clothes. And I was like, oh shit, we've got the day wrong. So we had to turn around, drive back and get her changed. Like that. You're talking to the right people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have sent her and told everyone she'd come as Britney Spears.
Yes, it's a great.
I'll just get up and then tie her shirt up.
Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with all of your projects, and yeah, amazing bit of home birth story. I can't wait to listen back.
Oh, have a lovely day. Thanks so much for having me.
Gosh, another amazing birth story. Wow.
Yeah. What was that? 50 minutes? 40
yeah,
minutes?
It was something like that. I mean, that is so quick. But also, you know what's really interesting as well? We talk about traumatic births and we always think that they're long. But actually, sometimes if you have a really fast birth, it can be equally as traumatic, because you do not know what has just happened. It's like, you know, your body can go into shock.
It's the release of hormones just at that speed. We hear that quite a lot. Well, you had that, because when you were induced, it happened really quickly as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did happen really quickly. And then with Gigi, it was like an hour and a half. But
Jesus Christ.
Felt a bit more chilled, to be honest, like not as intense as Axel.
Hasn't that flipped on its head since they've become tiny humans?
Oh, it has. She's definitely paying me back now.
Massive thank you to Laura Jackson. Of course, you can check her out and check out Glosset as well. And she's just, you know, she's in the know when it comes to interiors. So I'm sure any questions that you've got around that, fire them her way. As always, we would absolutely love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow. And of course, keep sending in your photos as well, because we love seeing them.
Yes, please do. And any suggestions for guests that you've got, just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMummers. We're always looking for new people to chat to and new topics to cover. And we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production. And today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.